Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, August 14th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's great to be back here. I mean, it's really great to be back. We're glad everybody's tuning in. To start today's show off, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on throughout the week. We're going to move real fast today because we've got a lot to cover. First of all, tomorrow we're going to have the editor of the American Free Press, Mr. Christopher Petherick, and we want to thank them for their recent review of 9/11 Evil that was written by John Tiffany. And this book, it's still keep making. It's only been out for about a week and a half now. And we're going to run an article, our review Wednesday by Mark Glenn, Thursday by John Kaminsky, the one tomorrow from the American Free Press. So we're looking forward to Christopher Petherick, and we're going to talk about the seminar, or the symposium, that Lisa and I are going to also speak at in Washington, D.C. Right. on September
1st through the 3rd.
And he'll give you all the details tomorrow. Now, Wednesday, we're going to have Mr. L. Hedell on here. He's the co-editor of Paranoia Magazine, and we showed you this last week. And he also sent us this book here, The Conspiracy Reader, from Paranoia Magazine. Then Friday, we're going to have my poll, or my results, for the 10 best books ever written on the New World Order. This is my opinion. And speaking of which, Lisa, we have the poll results today.
Right.
Now, on the Wing TV homepage, that this came from you. And we put this out about 2 weeks ago. We apologize for not getting the results sooner, but there's been so much going on here that we haven't had time to fit it in. But finally, last but not least, so Lisa, why don't you read, first of all, the top number one vote-getter.
Okay, the July 24th question was, what is the best New World Order book ever written? The top, six responses?
Yes.
Top six responses. Number one, Dr. John Coleman wrote the book Conspirators' Hierarchy, The Committee of 300.
Right. Now, let's stop a second, because when I put this my list out on Friday, even though I've read this book, obviously, and we carry it here at Wing TV, this book didn't make my top 10. And what it really does is this book covers something Coleman considers the Committee of 300. He also calls them the Olympians. And even though he covers a whole plethora of ground, he basically is talking about the reemergence of the Roman Empire, which is led by the Jesuits. That, among many, many, many other things. And the one hang-up that I and a lot of other people have with this book is that he says all of the Beatles' music and lyrics were written by a guy named Theo Adorno. Now, we're going to get to the Beatles here in a little bit and John Lennon, but it's absolutely not true. But here is, according to the Wing TV viewers, the number one best New World Order book ever written, Conspirators' Hierarchy. At least I'll hold these other ones up while you read them.
Okay, number two is Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment.
Very well deserving.
Number three, Victor's book, The New World Order Exposed.
We want to thank everybody for their votes on that book.
Number four, Fritz Springmeier's Bloodlines of the Illuminati.
Now, that book there, I have to admit, not only don't we have in our library here, I've never read it. So this book here, if someone wants to fill me in on it, I have a good idea of what's in it. But that's a book that we don't even have and we haven't even read yet. So another one to kind of slid in.
Yeah. Number five was the Bible.
Right. Along with, this was a tie, number five, the Bible.
With G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Right. And we've interviewed Mr. Griffin, I
Both
believe, twice. Yeah. Yeah. In the Bible. So as you can tell, every one of these books is very epic in its scope. And I was talking to Viz yesterday, who's the host of From the Grassy Knoll, and he said not only were these very good nominations, but there are also others, Lisa, that didn't make the top five. Why don't you read those?
Other notable nominations would be The Protocols of Zion, George Orwell's 1984, Matthias Chang, Future Fast Forward, Zbigniew Brzezinski, The Grand Chessboard, Craig Roberts, The Medusa File, William Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse.
Very epic book.
Yeah. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. Michael Collins Piper hits again with The New Jerusalem. And Victor, your book, 9/11 on Trial. Jim Marr's Rule by Secrecy, Professor Carol Quigley's The Anglo-American Establishment.
And one other one down
there. Oh, down here. I forgot one. Nesta Webster, Secret Societies and Subversive Movements.
Now, how is that for a very eclectic, wide-ranging? Yeah. And then now, there's one last thing, is we got some nominations of books that not only haven't we ever read, we'd never even heard of. And I'd like,
okay.
Lisa's going to read some of these that we don't even know what these books are about, but it shows how well-read and well-versed the Wing TV viewers are.
Yeah. Organic Sovereign American Freeman Compendium.
I have no idea what that one's about.
Ahmad Thompson, Dajjal, The Antichrist. Stephen Kinzer, Overthrow. Lewish. History of Edom and Khazaria. And Dr. Stephen E. Jones, The Struggle for the Birthright.
Right. Now, there were many other votes, and because of time and space restrictions, we couldn't put everything in.
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek.
I couldn't say it.
So, a very, very good poll. And take a look at it. Go to the Wing TV homepage. It's right there. Click on the link. Go into the archives, and you can see the entire list. Now, on Friday, we're going to have the Wing TV top 10 list. And there's some that are the same. Quite a few that are different, so we're looking forward to that. Now, since we mentioned John Lennon, and Dr. John Coleman says that the Beatles' lyrics were written by Theo Adorno.
Well, where does he get that from?
Well, in the book, when I read it the first time, when I was going back through it here, I looked at my little footnote or little thing that I wrote in the margin that says, where does he verify this? And there is no verification for it. So he says somehow...
It's just because he says so?
Yeah. And somehow that it's tied to the Tavistock Institute, blah, blah, blah. But I've read and listened to enough about the Beatles to know that, you know, you find Lennon's own hand-scrawled lyrics, their music. And I listen to a show every Sunday morning. It's called Breakfast with the Beatles. I've been listening to it for about a dozen years now. And they go over all these songs, where they came from, how they were written, blah, blah, blah. But what I really wanted to talk about with Lennon was they did a show yesterday about his activism. And in the early 70s, he became highly radical in his outbursts against the war. And he wrote a song called Attica State. They were doing concerts up in Michigan to free John Sinclair. And they really wanted to get Abbie Hoffman and Reuben and all these different people and take him on a nationwide tour of the United States leading up to the 72 election to try to get Nixon bounced. Well, what Nixon did in retaliation was try to get Lennon kicked out of the country and take his visa away because of a drug bust. And very, very interesting.
John Lennon was such a political threat, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think actually that the powers that be thought he was. And I guess in honor of Mr. Lennon, Lisa did her photo gallery today, John Lennon's song, Power to the People, and a great, great song. So, also we want to point out, Letters of the Week, we've kind of held off on these ones too. This one's about the No Planers. And all we'll say is, take a look at them, it's on the Wing TV homepage, and you'll see that there are quite a lot of good arguments just saying these No Planers have their head where the sun don't shine. Now, Lisa, give us the follow-up now. Friday we did our show on Sam Danner. We thought case closed, right? Sam Danner admitted that he lied. Take it from there.
It's kind of a mix of public reaction. I think many people are just going to accept the fact that Sam lied. Sam came out, admitted he lied. He's contrite about it. And, you know, many people are willing to move on from that hoax of a story. Then there's some people who think Sam's a government, he's been pressured to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't believe Sam's admission of lying. And then there's Eric Hufschmidt, the guy who edged Sam Danner on, in Sam's own words, to see a global hawk in that whole hoax story.
Who just can't admit that he was wrong
Eric
and let it die.
Eric doesn't seem to want to admit that he's wrong and is still, I guess, being a jerk to Russell Pickering,
well, he's,
Pentagon researcher.
Yeah, he posted a new article, and this new article got two responses, one from Russell Pickering and one from Mark Bilk. And Lisa's going to read just a few excerpts from each of these letters to Eric Hufschmidt.
This is Russell Pickering's, part of it, his response to Eric Hufschmidt. He said, Eric, you not only didn't retract appropriately, but have escalated the situation. This speaks highly of your intentions, your ethics, and frankly, your mental and emotional state. You've been swept into a paranoid world of conspiracy and lost yourself as a result. Your insinuations of me as a criminal are disgusting and 100% unfounded, as most of your recent work has been. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Your accusations about Mark Bilk, who's also a 9/11 researcher, are insane. You have become a huge liability to 9/11 truth and need to listen to your reasonable peers like Statmiller, etc. That's John Statmiller of Republic Broadcast Network. And try and get back on track. You also need to get a mirror and look into it until you see what you are doing.
Yeah. I mean, Eric has gone from one of the most well-respected researchers in the 9/11 field to now essentially the sewer. I mean, he has entered the sewer, and he has no respect whatsoever from almost everybody.
Yeah. I'd say that many of the prominent 9/11 truth leaders are a huge liability to 9/11
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how about Mark Bilk? Now, Mark Bilk, I've never emailed, we've never interviewed, I don't know a whole lot about him.
Well, I'm in the hard evidence group with him, and I've emailed him before.
Okay.
He said, Eric Hufschmidt, I have heretofore regarded you as a good guy, so I am giving you fair warning. If you don't remove from your website the libelous crap about me and Russell Pickering, I will take time away from the very important projects I'm working on to tear you a new one on every 9/11 list I can think of. And since I really am extremely busy, having to do this will severely piss me off, and I will do a very good job on it. And then he says, Eric, you have many other logical and factual errors on that webpage and elsewhere in your website, which I will also point out.
Yeah, let's just look at some of Eric's recent work, how he pissed off Statmiller. Statmiller threatened to knock his teeth down his throat.
He accused us of being Jews.
Still, even though he doesn't believe it, he still puts that crap out there for Daryl Bradford Smith, who he serves as his ghostwriter for, which is very odd in and of itself. Even though the police have arrested the people who shot one of the scholars for 9/11 Truth, the student, he's still pushing his thing that maybe it was the scholars that did it. Sam Danner has admitted that he lied. He's still pushing this. This guy has become the shoddiest, least competent researcher out there. And you know what, Lisa?
It's a shame. He's become a total disappointment from where he once stood on high ground.
I don't even want to talk about him anymore because he's just plummeted to the depths. And if people are still wrapped up in this little Daryl Bradford Smith, Eric Hufschmidt circle, they put out a little bit of good information on the Zionists. But as Lisa says, you get a little bit of good information and a lot of disinformation. What do you end up with?
Disinformation.
Disinformation. That's where they're at.
If you want to be the truth, still a whole lie.
Right. Let's cover a couple quick world news stories. Starting this morning, there was a ceasefire in the Middle East between Israel and Lebanon. Already, since the ceasefire, 6 Lebanese have been killed by the Israelis. The first shot was fired by the Israelis. And Prime Minister Olmert of Israel says that they will continue to pursue Hezbollah, even though there is a ceasefire.
What he said is, he takes sole responsibility for the offensive against Hezbollah in Lebanon. He said he would not apologize. Several lawmakers were ejected from the parliament for heckling Olmert during the address. And he was going to be followed by Benjamin Netanyahu doing an address of his own. But Olmert said this, "We will continue to pursue them, Hezbollah, everywhere and at all times. We have no intention of asking anyone's permission."
Now, is that would that fall under the definition of a ceasefire?
Not in my book.
Not in
our dictionary. Book.
Yeah, so.
Also, something interesting here, too. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, has launched his own web blog. And on this web blog, he asks the question, "Do you think that the U.S. and Israeli intention and goal by attacking Lebanon is pulling the trigger for another world war?" And you can answer yes or no to that if you go to www.ahmadinejad.ir. And you
Very
can weigh in on that. I think that, and he's going to have shorter, I guess, more concise blogs in the future. Mm-hmm. He thought this one was too long. It was his first, so
Very
we'll cut him some slack.
There were two rallies over the weekend, one in Washington, D.C., one in San Francisco, anti-war rallies, and also a rally against Israeli terror in the Middle East. The one in Washington, D.C. received about 30,000 people. One in San Francisco, 10,000 people. And, Lisa, I guess at some point in the future, we're going to be arrested. and charged with treason.
Captain May. Let's wait for a second. Okay. Captain Maybell. Okay. There was also a protest outside CBS television studios. The JDL, the Jewish Defense League, decided that they were going to picket in front of CBS and against Mike Wallace, who did an interview that was aired. Part of it was aired yesterday, I guess, on 60 Minutes. We watched it.
Right.
This is a militant Jewish group. They picketed outside CBS TV City, denouncing the network and newsman Mike Wallace for interviewing Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran. Yeah, how dare they get the other side of the story, yeah. Right? The director of the JDL, Ari Rubin, referred to Ahmadinejad as a terrorist and villain on the scale of Hitler and said Wallace was wrong to interview the Iranian president. Let it be known that the FBI calls the JDL a right-wing terrorist organization as well, so I don't know why anyone following their logic would have reported what they had to say either then.
Yeah.
But regardless, the protesters were very incensed by Wallace's positive remarks about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He said he was impressive and that he, very professional. Okay, that's what, and I guess these Jewish protesters were very upset that Wallace says he's anti-Zionist, not anti-Semitic. He's not anti-Jewish. He is Jewish. And these protesters said, how can you differentiate anti-Zionism from anti-Semitism?
Let's go over what was said real quickly.
Sure.
In this interview last night, Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes. First of all, Ahmadinejad says that Israel is a fabricated government. I would agree completely. Then, though, he asked Wallace if he was a representative from the Zionist regime. So I don't know what the JDL is crybabying about, because Ahmadinejad took a shot
at
Wallace.
They're crybabying because he interviewed him at all. You're not supposed to get the other side of the story. The only side that matters is Israel's side.
Yeah. As to the Holocaust, Ahmadinejad said that this was a European-created myth, and he said, if this is real, where did it take place? And that's the question us and all other Holocaust investigators want to know is, why don't we put it out there in the public and put all the facts on the table? Well, every time this happens, the Zionists run for cover because they don't want this, the Holocaust, to be investigated.
Wallace asked Ahmadinejad about his comment that Israel should be wiped off the map. He asked if Iran was supporting Hezbollah and if Iran is trying to acquire nuclear weapons. I can't even say the word either, like Bush. Ahmadinejad responded with, the UN only serves U.S. interests. He said Hezbollah has the right to defend Lebanon and itself in war with Israel. He said the UN's not responding to atrocities, and if you look for the root causes, you see the hand of British and Americans. He said Iran has no plans to develop nuclear weapons, and they want nuclear technology for energy purposes.
He also said that Bush has vowed not to give the bomb to Iran, yet he says, why is it then that Bush and his cabal use the bomb to settle everything, which is a very good point. If they want peace, why do they use war? He says, why is the United States in Iraq? They have their own army now, their own parliament, their own civilization, and the Saddam Hussein story has been over for 3 years now. Why is the United States still there? Finally, in a letter to George Bush, remember we spent an entire show on this a few months ago, he said, if you're a follower of Christ and you support humanitarian rights, why do you keep attacking or supporting attacks upon other countries?
Yeah.
All good points.
Ahmadinejad said the U.S. is opposed to Iranian progress. He said that the United States government wants to monopolize the energy resources of the world, because once they monopolize the world's energy resources, they can impose their opinions, points of view, policies, all on other nations, as well as line their pockets. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
He said this, too. The time of the bomb is in the past. It's behind us. Today is the era of thoughts, dialogue, and open exchanges. Boy, isn't that crazy?
Now,
how dangerous is that?
Now, do we trust Ahmadinejad? It's still an open question. We've had guests on this show. Last Thursday, we had Christopher John Bjerknes. He said Ahmadinejad is a Zionist agent. When I was talking to Viz over the weekend, he says Ahmadinejad knows the handshake, which means he's in on it. Mark Glenn, on the other hand, says Ahmadinejad might be the last hope that we have to escape this Zionist pressure on the world.
Let's remember, too, this interview with Wallace initially was brought up a year ago. It took him a year. Wallace had to actually come out of retirement to do this interview, and he had to go to Tehran to do it. Now, I personally found him to be very rude and confrontational with the president of Iran, and considering that he was a guest in that country, he should have acted with a little more deference and respect for Ahmadinejad. I felt like he was speaking down to him. I thought he was quite often interrupting and just rude. And I was kind of embarrassed for the way he handled that.
And see, I think he was kind of softballing myself because I wish he would ask him about 9/11.
Yeah,
Ahmadinejad is definitely, and so many other things that weren't brought up, so...
But I tell you what, Ahmadinejad handed him his jewels.
I think
Ahmadinejad handled himself very well. He was articulate and soft-spoken, and he had a sense of humor about the whole thing, and he was dishing it right back to Wallace. Wallace is like 88 years old.
Yeah, and Ahmadinejad is still a college professor.
Right.
I was thinking, what would George Bush teach if he was in college? You know, how to fly
how
fish.
How to count Fruit Loops.
Yeah, how to, you know, so... You can see the difference there. Anyway, folks, we had a lot to cover today. I apologize that we had to go so fast. But we have to keep these Monday shows a little bit shorter just because of bandwidth. So many people are trying to watch them. We want to thank everybody who's ordered a copy of...
He's got so many books here.
You got to see 9/11 Evil. As I said, we're going to have reviews the next 3 days of it. If anybody out there purchased a copy, would like to write a review, send it our way. We'd love to see it also.
Captain Maybell, real quick.
Oh, real quick, yeah. Captain May.
The ghost troop.
Yeah, the ghost troop. He's going to have us arrested and charged with treason when they overthrow the
government.
When
they take control. Him, Casper the Friendly Ghost, Elmo from Sesame Street.
Count Chocula.
Yeah.
And the ghost troops. I mean, it sounds like something out of Marvel Comics. And I'll bet the New World Order is trembling in their shoes about Captain May. And the ghost tree.
I know we are.
Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Christopher Petherick from the American Free Press. Again, we want to thank them for their review of 9/11 Evil. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.